Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:06 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is August 1st. Well, we had the Federal Reserve talking today about what they're going to do with interest rates, and it looks like they are thinking about raising interest rates in September. And U.S. Treasury yields have been going up for the last few weeks. When I did my click-through of markets today for the first time in 2 weeks, and I've been really haven't been looking at markets over the course of the last couple of weeks, trying to spend some time away from the markets and enjoying certainly lots of different restaurants in the south of China. Well, getting back to the markets, there are at least two or three things that I think are really worth considering. The first is U.S. Treasuries here coming up to the 3% level again, and this has looked like a bullish consolidation in terms of the price action, but of course, this being yields, it's a bearish distribution below the trend mean when we look at the price action. When we look at some of those bond futures markets, we're presented with some very interesting chart patterns. If we start off and look at the treasury market, the 10-year treasuries, well, this does not look like a bullish pattern. And it is a reasonably consistent downtrend where we've seen resistance in the region of the trend mean now twice. There have been some pronounced declines, one in 2016, another in late 2017. Most of this year has been characterized by ranging, but this continues to look like a bearish environment. What I found particularly interesting when I was doing the click-through was to look at JGBs. It's not very often that there's any real news out of the JGB market, but that is a really quite pronounced downward dynamic that we've seen on the JGB price this week, and that's not something that I think many people have got in their lexicon. When we think about the bond yield, well, Japan has been at pains and let me make sure that I'm typing that correctly. They've been at pains over the course of the last few years to manage the bond yield, but this is a breakout, and we're going to have to see some substantial moves by the Bank of Japan to contain the yield if their upward target of 10 basis points is to be contained. This is something that we don't see particularly often when we consider the fact that the bond yield on the Japanese market has been going down for what is must feel like forever. Well, this is a potentially important catalyst for the banking sector. The TOPIX Banks Index has bounced from the lower side of the range that's been in evidence now for the last 18 months, and that is part of a much lengthier range evidence since 2013. Well, if we continue to see additional upward scope on that JGB yield, then that does raise the potential that we have inflationary forces starting to come back into Japan, and the long-awaited potential for interest rate hikes, which is something that is almost Pollyanna-ish in terms of what people have been expecting, might become somewhat more realizable. Well, the Nikkei is up, was up to almost 200 points today. That's down in the futures market, because of the reasonably weak close that we've had. I think that's an exaggeration. It's pretty much an unchanged close we've seen on Wall Street today. But this continues to look like a bullish consolidation for the Nikkei. Well, when we look at that second section index, it has continued to bounce from the region of the trend mean. And as long as it is trading above the trend mean, I think we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. That was two of the things that really stood out to me when I did the click through this morning. The other was the bounces that we've seen on some of the ASEAN markets. Now, that has been helped by the weakness of their respective currencies. So we're starting to see some bargain hunting coming into these markets. And the Filipino market has held its progression of higher reaction lows and has bounced pretty impressively from that 7,000 level. Then when we look at Malaysia, we've got a similar bounce coming through over the last 3 weeks. The Indonesian market again is pretty similar, so there's a high degree of commonality coming through in these markets. When we look at some of the more developed markets in the region, then Taiwan has bounced from the region of the trend mean and it's back above the 11,000 level. The KOSPI in South Korea has not yet bounced, but considering the commonality that we have in the rest of the region, then there is the potential for some additional firming here as well. The Thai market had bounced as well and is now back above the trend mean. So I think this is certainly some evidence of bargain hunting coming through. Well, one of the big pieces of news that came through while I was away was the fact that the Xi administration is pulling back from its almost warfare on the shadow banking system. And we've seen a pretty impressive upward dynamic in the Shanghai Property Index. It's been trending lower for just about all of this year. It's back in the region of the lows that we've seen in 2015 and 2016. And we haven't yet seen any upside follow through on last week's upward dynamic, but this is a low of at least near-term significance. It certainly holds out the prospect that we're going to see a reversionary rally. Then the big question will be whether we're going to see follow through in terms of policy to support the market in here. So far, when we think about the A-share index, it was in negative territory in here today, down about 2%, and the bounce that we've seen so far hasn't been particularly impressive. Now we've seen much clearer upward dynamics at previous lows, not least at the beginning of 2016. It suggests that people are going to need some additional convincing that the tailwind from I think the well, what I described this advance that we had in from 2016 through to the beginning of 2018 was a government-sponsored bull market, and that there's been a lack of a government sponsorship angle to the market since the beginning of this year, and it's going to really require some additional substantive action by the administration to confirm that there is a government sponsorship to a bull market in equities in order to really confirm that we're in a bull market environment once more. But certainly the upward dynamics that we saw last week are the first tentative signs that the outlook is beginning to change here. What I think is also worth highlighting is that Tencent has broken downwards and it was in additional negative territory this week, although it was reasonably steady in here today. This is a really quite pronounced loss of momentum and turn to inconsistency for what had been a totem for the Chinese internet sector over the course of the last 3 or 4 years, but most particularly last year when the share more than doubled. And the problem that it has is very simple. There isn't practically a single Chinese person in the world that doesn't use WeChat at this stage, and Tencent is losing the battle for the online payments market. That mantle has almost certainly been attained by Alibaba's Ant Financial. And the relative difference in the performance of the shares, I think, begins to tell that story. The impending IPO of Ant Financial is something I think will be worth watching. Well, the other thing that I think really stood out to me when I did the click through this morning was the weakness that we have in the commodity markets. And the oil market was down today by approximately $1. And I think more important than that is the fact that prices have paused around the $70 area. $70 is an important break-even point for a lot of those shale oil and gas producers, and it's natural that that is a choke point in terms of price appreciation because it's where a lot of additional supply becomes economic. That would suggest that we're going to have to see it's, or I think the argument for significant additional upside would be contingent on a geopolitical event. And so far, there doesn't seem to be much prospect of that, with Russia starting to amp up its potential for additional supply, and that is likely to contain prices for potentially the medium term. But then, when we look at some of the agricultural commodities, then we've seen renewed selling pressure. The sugar price has been down in a dynamic manner, and it is at new reaction lows over the course of the last couple of sessions. Now, it is right back in the region of the lows seen in 2015 and 2008, but again, a clear upward dynamic is going to be required here to confirm a return to demand dominance. And when we look at the Arabica coffee contract, then it has also been in negative territory and was down in a reasonably dynamic manner again in here today. But again, this is very close to historically low levels. So this is probably not the time to be panicking, but rather to be watching this market rather closely in anticipation of when we're going to start to see demand beginning to come back in. We are starting to see some evidence of demand coming through in the orange juice market, and when we look at that on a weekly basis, it is on the cusp of breaking up to new recovery highs. It's exactly the opposite when we look at the lumber market. That had accelerated higher, and over the course of the last 3 weeks, it has broken back below the trend mean. So the price, having peaked at 600, almost 650, is now at 440. So it has been down in a dynamic manner on repeated occasions and was limit down, and we have had that expanded limit now for the last few months. It's another example of when the exchanges move in to widen the limits and raise the margins, that tends to kill off these bull markets in commodities, and lumber prices are continuing to fall. Now, the big question, I think, when we look at this market is that it had broken out of an extraordinarily long range. So will the $400 area represent support where it had previously represented resistance? I think that is going to be the big question for this market. Then, when we look at the precious metals, platinum prices were down $25 in here today. And back when the price was substantially higher, $25 wasn't a lot, but when it's at $800, it looks like a dynamic. Well, $800 was an area of support back in 2016 and in 2008, and it's going to require a clear upward dynamic to confirm support in this area. Now, we've had two dynamics from this area over the course of July, and they have not really had upside follow-through, and the progression of lower rally highs remains intact. This does look like softening up in terms of the downtrend, that we're getting these stabs on the upside, are what David had often characterized as bullish trampolining from that $800 area, but we're going to have to see follow-through on the upside to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment, or that demand is returning to dominance. Now, silver prices have been barely steady around the $15.50 area, and we're down 15 cents in here today. The $16 area had been an area of support, and now prices are below it. But $15 has been where we've seen demand coming back through over the course of the last 4 years. And this is going to be the big question, whether we're going to see demand starting to come back in again in this area. And the gold price has also been weak over the course of the last 2 weeks, and it's at a new closing low in here today, so coming back below the $1,220 area. So this has been really quite a consistent downtrend, and we have one step below another, and the reactions have been in the order of approximately $25. This one has been slightly smaller than that, but it's going to require a rally of greater than $30 to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment, and considering the fact that the reactions have been in the order of approximately $25 in amplitude, then that's going to be characterized as a rally, which would offer a good shorting opportunity for the people that have been right in this trade. I certainly haven't been one of those. I've had a losing position in gold and the precious metals now for months, and I continue to hold it, but I think that's not looking like a particularly smart decision, considering just how much the price has deteriorated. When we look at this deterioration on a weekly basis, well, then the upward bias evident since the beginning of 2016 has been broken. Now the question is the extent to which this range is going to persist, and whether we're going to see support starting to come in at 1200, 1100, or 1000. And that's an unknown at this stage, considering that the consistency of the upward advance that we've seen has been broken. So this is now more, I think, a case of damage control for stale bulls than the potential that we're going to see an imminent break above $1,400. That's I think the harsh reality, considering the fact that we've had this big break of the consistency of the trend. Then, when we look at what's going on Wall Street, what I find quite interesting here is Google. Google had broken out last week on its positive earnings, and there have been two news items that have been circulating over the last few months. The first was that if you cast your mind back a couple of months, that it was some of the employees at Google were revolting at the idea that Google was willing to take on government defense contracting. And they have subsequently had to get out of that. Well, Google was pretty much excised from China because it was unwilling to compromise in terms of protecting its user data. But today there was news that the company has previewed a inverted commas China-friendly search engine for the Chinese authorities. Well, that has the potential to open up the market in China to Google if they're willing to play ball with the communists. Then, what does that tell us about Google's market? That on the one hand, it had never taken on government defense contracting, and now it has at least tried to do that. And then it had refused to deal with China, now it is compromising on that front. Well, the answer, of course, is that Google has reached an awful lot of people already. And what are the big markets that are still available to it? Well, one would be government contracting, and the other one would be China. And it has to make inroads on those markets in order to continue to grow, and the management do appear to be willing to do that. So I think that's an interesting development. But the more important point is that this share continues to, it has had a wobble in terms of its consistency, that it had the bigger pullback, a $200 pullback compared to $100 pullbacks that it had been putting in over the course of the last decade. Now it needs to continue to hold this break above $1,200 if it's going to continue to repair the consistency of the trend. It is interesting that it had paused at $1,300, that each of these round numbers has been an area where the price has paused. So a natural area to pause was $1,300, and it's done so. Now the question will be whether $1,200 represents an area of support. If it does, well, then we can conclude that the consistency is beginning to be repaired in Google. If it fails and it puts in a failed upside break and then pulls back again below the trend mean, well, then we'd have to conclude that this is top formation development. So this is a rather interesting period in time for Google. And Apple prices broke out today and was up $11 and cruising through the $200 area. The market cap is 975 billion, so we're really not far off that big psychological trillion-dollar market cap level, and it does look likely that it will be reached. Amazon prices have been pausing over the course of the last few days, but this continues to represent a very bullish environment for the company. And it's also worth considering that reactions have been in the order of approximately $100. And we've seen about a $100 pullback in June. We saw another $100 pullback in the course of the last five sessions. And now it's starting to firm once more. There's certainly this continued progression of higher reaction lows. As long as that remains intact, then the benefit of the doubt can continue to be given to the upside, despite the fact that it is really quite overextended relative to the trend mean. Then, when we look at Netflix, I think it is worth pointing out that Netflix is a B-rated credit, whereas Google is double A, excuse me, A-rated, and Facebook has no debt at all. Well, Facebook got heavily penalized by the market for spending more money on trying to comply with what is almost certainly going to be greater regulation of the social media market. And that was an awfully big downside weekly key reversal last week. Now it is back in the region of the trend mean, and the question I think people will be asking is whether it is going to continue to be able to bounce. It's got a lot of work to do, but this does look like the beginning of a softening up process, and that we could be in for prolonged ranging, and that is perhaps a best case scenario for Facebook, that it is going to take time to iron out the problems that the company has, both with its image and with its ability to police its own marketplace. And that's going to be particularly important for its ability to continue to attract advertising revenue. There is no way that big established brands are going to want to be associated with influencing referenda or indeed whole elections. So that is probably going to be a break on the company for the foreseeable future. There are I think lots of additional stories that are worthy of consideration, but I think one of the important ones is exactly what we can expect from the Eurozone and the dollar. The dollar has been pretty much range bound against the euro now for 2 months, but the USA is going to continue to raise interest rates, and the Eurozone is going to be shy about doing so because it's got a lot of challenges still that need resolution. And what that suggests is that the euro's oversold condition relative to the trend mean is gradually being unwound. It would clearly need to sustain a move above the trend mean to confirm a return to demand dominance. But in the meantime, I think that there is ample potential for additional downside and additional dollar strength. If that's indeed the case, well, that would, I think, gel with the kind of weakness that we're getting in the commodity markets. Copper, for example, was down again in here today in a reasonably dynamic manner, down almost 10 cents. So this does not look like a particularly bullish environment for the commodity complex in general, although there are certainly some individual commodity markets that have got potential for upside here. Then, when we look at that continuous commodity index, it is coming right back down to the lower side of its range. So, if this range is going to persist, then we're coming back to an area where support needs to demonstrate that demand can come back to dominance. And when we go back and think about all of the different commodity charts that we've looked at, there are quite a considerable number that are in the region of previous areas of support. So this is, I think, one of the more important times to be looking at the commodity complex for the simple reason that there's a lot of short interest in the market right now, and there is the potential for reversionary rallies at a minimum, but there is precious little evidence that that has begun just yet. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you. And I must say, it is very good to be back in action. I feel revitalized, although a little bit jet-lagged after a couple of weeks off.